Go ahead, check us out on IG at Unheard Podcast. Check us out on the Twitter, Unheard Pod 1. YouTube coming soon, also at Unheard Podcast. Follow us on everything, man. Follow us on your favorite social media, TikTok even. Got a great episode for y'all today, man. We're going to be talking about the state of rap, some bubbling subgenres within the greater genre of rap, since a lot of people are talking about rap is dead. We just think rap is taking a different evolution, so we're going to get into that. Then we got some project reviews. Y'all know we did the label draft last week, so we got some results this week. Ariana Grande advances label. Going to be talking about her album, getting into the Schoolboy Q, Blue Lips. And maybe a few other projects that we found particularly interesting this week. Thought that like NBA, but I thought a nigga was from Baton Rouge. Made a sign of NBA, fuck with niggas, say we don't follow rules. Put that pussy on my face, get your pussy drained like some Mountain Dew. In Miami, I'm with Lou, we found something new at the Fountain Blue. Being given bounce like you, big and bounce like you, big and bounce like you. If I need to hit you up, just to get a nut, I could count on you. Lady, I've been sipping drinks, but some hella states, I ain't in the mood. Sliding in the Bentley truck with a Spanish bitch, put in some rules. For sure.
I remember we had this episode, which was like summer 2022, because I was at Spotify, and it was like, is rap cooked? That was the title of the episode, and you guys like basically declared rap cooked, and I was like, I don't think rap's cooked. I think there's a bunch of people like on the ship of rap, and they's just like, everybody's like loading up these rafts, and they're like hopping off the ship of rap, that like rap as we know it, everybody's going in these different directions. And I think now that's like finally coming to fruition, like we're starting to see it. Like right now, I don't know if it's big in LA right now, but like this sexy drill sound is like the sound of New York. It's like everywhere. It's like the only sound you really hear. And it's like a subgenre that's like very potent. It's like kind of like, how would I explain it? Just like, it's kind of like how Gunna was in 2018 when he dropped whichever DS, whichever one that was, Dripper Drown 2 or Dripper Drown 3, was like everybody was listening to this like all the time. It was like this was all they were playing. This was like all you heard when you like walked down the street. It was like you just heard it everywhere. It's kind of like that same feeling right now in like New York, and I guess probably like obviously Jersey too. Like those areas are just like, this is all you hear. And it's like all that's being played. And it's like, it's not the mainstream. Like you're not going to find these songs on Billboard, but like, it's the sound. It's like the sound of the region right now. It's just there's a bunch of those mini sub pockets right now going on in rap. And I think it's kind of for the better.
It is. Like, I think one valid critique always with those has been like, how far are you going to be able to take those, you know, sub pockets? Because like, even in the past with the SoundCloud kind of generation we saw, you know, they were at the time part of kind of like a subculture, but a lot of them kind of went that mainstream route and like took that leap. And I think not even just like with the sexy drill stuff, but like I think just the counter argument to a lot of regional stuff is like, not counter arguments in terms of being like anti it, you know, just in terms of like almost like investing in it would be like their ability to take it like over the top to that next level. Because like you said, like it is hard with the regions, because the same shit that's rocking over in New York like might not be a thing at all in LA.
And that's right. Yeah, is it a thing in LA? Like when you guys go out, are you hearing it?
Like right. you go to apartment 200 and like the right DJ is spinning, then like he'll play Fisher. But like it's not like a common thing. Not really. But, like, I know, like, from everybody I've talked to in New York and in Jersey, like, Cash is it right now. Like, Cash Cobain is hot as fish grease. Like, that's the only, every function packed, doing collabs with a bunch of artists across the city. But how long do you think that sound has, just, like, out of curiosity? Because they said it's like more of a summer sound, obviously. So, I guess, like, how many more summers do you think?
I think this summer is going to be the summer where it's like crazy hot, because it's like just now like getting hot to where like everybody, every artist in this space, their latest song is becoming their biggest song. So whenever that's happening like repeatedly, that's when it's like, okay, they really got something. Like every new song they drop is becoming, it's like the one at the moment. So that's kind of the like telling right now. It's like Cash Cobain just dropped Fisher, and like I wasn't even like it took me a second to even connect the dots that this is the same and it's beat from Cash, not the from YouTube. I was like, oh shit, this nigga really ventured out and made something as an artist too. Like,
you really made this sound. Have I not played Cash on hard. The pod? I swear I played Cash on the pod as an artist, but yeah, bruh, he's been doing it for a little minute. Like, that's what I'm saying. The sound, like, it's been a quote-unquote slizzy summer in New York for the last two summers. But like you said, it's interesting now that, like, these songs are now getting, like, a lot of traction on streaming. And, like, they're becoming these artists' biggest songs. And I think a big caveat is, which kind of places Cash in this interesting place, is, like, he's a producer, too. So not only can he, like, make the sound and, you know, drop it as, like, an artist, like, he can really produce the sound and disperse it, you know, give it around, spread around the community. So, like, once we see songs that he might have with bigger artists come out that kind of follow this same style, I can see where it would kind of, that where that sound might take that leap and, you know, really enter the mainstream if we start. I mean, Drake used it on the last project, and it was one of the better streaming songs. What was it, Calling For You on For All The Dogs, like that kind of sexy drill bounce, and it was one of the better performing songs. So I think the more artists we see do that, it's got a shot.
You guys, well, I'm gonna like just give a definition of the sound, and then when I ask, do you guys like the sound? So there was an article in like 2022, I guess, like when the sound was like really starting to pop off, and they just described it as sex replacing the raspy flow and over the top disses for lighthearted jabs and bold sexual advances. Sexy drill is about creating fun, female friendly party tracks often sampled from beloved R&B hits of yesteryear. Huge emphasis on the female friendly part. Like, I think they're obviously the huge demographic of it, but how do you guys like the song?
It's cool. I need some, like you said, like, it's been a couple years, so I think like songs like Fisher are really cool, and like Dunk Contest, like there's a little bit of variability with those. But like when I'm starting to see a lot of the other artists, like maybe in the area, like some are doing it tastefully with the sound, and I feel like some others are kind of just trying to ride the wave just for namesake. I mean, I'm not blaming them, you know, any smart person would. If that's the sound, you're gonna hop on the sound. But at the same time, I think that does dilute, like, I don't know, it's kind of hard, it sounds gatekeepy what I'm saying, but at the same time, like, you can't give like the wrong niggas the right ingredients. That's how I feel about the sexy drill shit. If done right, it's great, but I feel like there's some people not doing it great.
I ain't gonna lie, I don't listen to it enough for me to really have an affinity for it or feel one way or the other about it. But when it does come on, you know, like the Drake Calling For You is probably the biggest example I know. Like, it's fine. It's cool.
Okay. It's mostly for the women.
It's great
the
women drive it. It's great outside.
Like Vance mentioned, summer. This summer is gonna be the telling point of like how far this life raft can go. Like, is it just a life raft, or is it just like a whole another little sub ship? I think that's the summer's going to be the true telling point.
Agreed.
All right. So you guys are hip to sexy drill. Are you guys hip to, it's called Udi Core. I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it.
I can't.
Are you hip to this?
I can't say I am.
No. Chance, you're on TikTok more than Vance. Are you hip to Udi Core?
Have you used it in any of your reels? No Udi Core in the videos?
No. Not familiar.
So Udi Core, so if sexy drill's for the women, Udi Core's for like the kids and like the early TikTok teens.
What's like a big example?
So the biggest artist, it's named after this artist, Udatari. He was a producer from Houston. He was a substitute teacher who got fired last year. And then he just started dropping songs on TikTok.
Damn, fired as
and he like
hurt.
describes it as final boss music. Like on a video game, you get to the final boss. It's like final boss. So it's like high pace, EDM rooted, which like glitchy trap sounds, aggressive club like beats, and then just like that climatic video game feeling.
It's like game scoring like, type music. Some Sonic.
Exactly.
Shit.
And you hear it and it sounds like TikTok personified into music. Like if like TikTok, rap, EDM, if everything, like if you could make a sound for TikTok, this would be like the staple sound.
But is it more
just
of
goes crazy.
But it's like in an impressive way, not in a super gimmicky way.
Yeah, not in a cheesy gimmicky way. It's like in a, oh shit, he kind of really found a
you
lane.
Tapped
like,
in.
Yeah. And as a result, like everybody who does this sound, Udatari is like the one. He's at like 10 million monthly listeners without like any crazy cosigns. His biggest cosigns, he's like did a track with Don Toliver and Homicide Gang. So it's like rooted in rap, but it's also EDM. So like 6 of his tracks charted on the Billboard top 10, like EDM.
So you know, that like Carnage, you know, that he's doing, it's like the Carnage wave. It's like a new age Carnage, because it's like back in 2015, 2016, like DJ Carnage operated like a very specific niche of like, dude could do any single festival live show he wanted to, if and get it and headline it, to be honest. And like, if he wanted to, could bring out like a ASAP Ferg or a I don't know, Rocky or any of the Uzi, any of those artists he used to be working with. But like, it was that fine intersection between like the German like white boys going crazy to the EDM and like some people that'll come out to see like Uzi, you know, just for Uzi. How old is
the concert? Young? He's 24, so he's like, he just turned 24, so he's like around our age. That's so tough. He's like, if you go to the concert, it's like the most,
don't be giving away my age on here,
interesting
boy.
Part like ever. It's like you'll see like literal kids on their parents' shoulders. You will see like e-girls with fucking like socks and like mini skirts. You'll see like anime fangirls. It's like, what is going on? It's what is this crowd? What is this fan base? But it's just like, then once the music starts, it's like they're singing every word and the ground is literally shaking. You're thinking like you're at a fucking Cardi concert. Like, it's just going crazy. It's like, damn. Like, in the past, I probably would have dismissed this as like a TikTok thing, but it's like you see it outside and it's like, oh shit. But like, no, they really love this.
Or he's like he's on the mic too. He's not just a DJ, right?
He produces all his own stuff, but yeah, okay. He's doing like, it's rapping. It's rapping and singing. It's like it's an amalgamation of genres, but it's like rooted in rap for sure.
Yeah, what's, I didn't know this guy again? Before, but I just heard a snippet of the I Love You Ho, It's You.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I mean, I don't think it's for me personally. I don't think I could do a whole album of this. But it was done tastefully. Maybe we should play a snippet for the people. Ain't nobody taking you away from me to be. I promise ain't nobody in here that can say that I need you all. No, nobody gonna put up with just the way I done. Nobody is coming here to save you. I did enough. It sounds exactly how you described it, but it sounds like when you were first saying it, I thought it was just gonna be like stimulus overload, like they just trying to get the kids like super excited on TikTok and shit, or like get you excited for like this boring ass like TikTok clip.
MK Ultra music.
No, it's pretty refined actually, and it sounds purposeful, and it's not just a bunch of shit thrown together. So
shout out to the hyperpop niggas. There's a lot of them. They're on the come up. We might have to watch out. They might take over the rap charts. Shit. We got to gatekeep.
I wouldn't be shocked if like Uzi or somebody hops on this sound.
Like a hype, that's what I'm saying.
Uzi hopping on this sound for sure.
100 Gex is already fucking huge, like widely successful. And I know they're probably not exactly the same lane, but I feel like they exist in the same world.
And last life raft. This is my life raft. I'm on this life raft. I might be like pedaling the life raft. I'm rowing.
You're a body on the boat.
Yeah, if Sexy Drill is for women, Uti Core is for like the kids and the teens. This, I call this the independent ethics. This is for like
dreadheads.
Yeah. The niggas with free form locks. The niggas get a cut once every quarter, only for Easter, Christmas. This is for this bunch. This is the Mike. Mike just released a pinball. Another project with Tony, it's a project with Tony Sells, and Mike releases like every year.
It's bro, like every week.
Independent artists. It's these independent artists who like value lyrics, but they like, it's not boring. It's not like the old head, like, oh, you gotta listen to this. It's like some shit you would really want to listen to.
Would Saba fall into this category?
No.
I don't think Saba falls into it.
I think Saba falls into that like Chicago. He's adjacent. It's adjacent because it's like all in that kind of Midwest sounding type music, even though Mike is from where? Atlanta?
Where's Mike from? I don't know where.
So, who outside of Mike and Earl would fall into this category? And Mavi. Who outside of that?
Mavi.
Mavi. There's, I mean, smaller artists like Neonte. Smino is like adjacent, like older Smino. If he, like, he's a little bit more singy now, but like a rap, like a. what's No Name almost, it's like adjacent, just like in that world, but like,
yeah. If I had to choose one of these, I would probably go with this one.
Who, Mike?
I have to say, though, there's a reason they kind of max out.
What did you just choose?
I choose like the Mike, the independent edit. Like,
of the new, okay. Of the, oh, he made it into a, life turned raft. It into a selection. Yeah, he chose his life raft.
You said this was the one you attach yourself to. So yeah, I'm saying if I had to attach myself to one, it would be this. But
oh, I see.
I'm not really, none of these like really.
Now, you're a mainstream consumer. We don't. You're on the cruise ship.
You're still on the cruise ship.
I know mainstream. Y'all know I just
literally
don't.
Literally on the mainstream.
Y'all know my breakdown already probably like 65-35, like 60-40, like R&B other. And then
you're not even on
the remaining is like
hip hop. We're really just so talking about rap.
And then when
we're
I am in hip hop
R&B, that would be your.
It's
whole
like
lane.
Street music. So.
That's the thing. I don't know if street music really has a life raft at the moment. Like,
I think it falls Detroit? Independent. Like, I think it's the non-ethical independent side. You know, the ethical side might be rapping about like financial freedom. You know, the other niggas might be rapping about moving heroin. So it might not be as ethical, but they're still independent rappers. And I think we're seeing a lot of those kind of come up. You know, the Boss Man D-Lo. I mean, they're getting signed now. But they're still not signed to a major, so I'm still gonna call them independent. You know, the Boss Man D-Lo's, the Lo Shimmies, the Wiz Havens, like YTB Fat. And YTB Fat might be with a major by now, but those dudes are just widely successful. You know, them football niggas, them SEC niggas. Like, that's real. That's real music for them. Like, that you're ready to knock a nigga's head off after you play some YTB Fat in the locker room. So. And, like, I'm not, you know, I'm joking, but at the same time, we know the relationship between music and sports. Like, that's damn near how Kodak came up through Florida. So I think it's very significant that, like, you have that side of it, too. Because I don't know if the football players are playing the mic in the locker room. You know,
yeah, they're not, bro.
Some of them probably.
They need a rap.
They might be playing it in the AirPods, but they're not playing that on the Bluetooth. They're not. So
I don't know what you was talking about. Like, what do you, so a raft, having a raft is a bad thing?
No, it's a life raft. It's a good thing. It's like rap is survive, like that it's mainstream rap shit. Like you mentioned last week, or this might have been in like a pre-production meeting. You're like, you're tired of old, like you're tired of Kendricks and the Coles and the Drakes, like that. I think that type of philosophy, that's done. Like, we're not getting a big three again. We're not getting like mainstream. All of these guys can sell out arenas, but we're gonna get a bunch of these like sub-genre niggas who like specialize in their specialty. And they can really like go crazy, but they're never going to be like the main.
So why does street music not have a ref? Or you
that's
think that is the mainstream?
Well, I just created it. What is the street ref? We're good now. We're good.
So I'm saying like, so like the ship has blown up, and like niggas have to find out like what.
Yeah, the ship is sinking. The mainstream ship is sinking, and
everybody trying to find out. Like. All right then. Well, yeah. I mean, street
the
music does need
the streets. I think the thing is. It's like the streets is almost too much of a gimme because it's never not been there, you know, when it comes to life raft. Like, that's the ultimate life raft. It's almost too good of a life raft.
I don't know, man. I feel like...
Bro, the streets have never not had hot shit going, like, ever. Like, niggas can always...
Yeah, there might not be,
streets.
Like, a consistent street rapper at this point, but there's always, like, one or two that's, like, there.
All right, like, fine. Maybe like, they don't need a raft, but... Yeah. If I had to choose one, if that means it's like a slightly bigger ship, but that's the ship we came off, like, I'm just going to go down with that one.
Yeah. All right, good little analysis. I think that was a good little oversight, at least of the current, you know. We can only talk about today. Who knows what the landscape will look like next year, but I think those are definitely the underground ways. I mean, obviously you have the... You know, yeet type niggas and net spends, like that's a whole different thing. But in terms of like the super new waves, I think that kind of sums it up.
All right, last question before we get an unheard. You guys think this is good with like all of these like rafts going in different directions, or would you guys rather it be one big ship?
Man, if it means
the cream
cheaper,
of the crop rises.
It means cheaper show tickets, then I like it. I like seeing artists right. When they're at the life raft stage because. Once you hit
like
cruise ship, man, I'm not paying for those tickets, so.
I feel like I like seeing a bunch of these little things, but I feel like, I don't know, bro. I haven't seen a world where, me personally, where there is just not, like, dominators. You know what I'm saying? At, like, in their prime. I would say we have dominators in the genre. They're just no longer in their prime.
Do you do you think, like, Drake is like LeBron in the East, where, like, nobody else was allowed to win? Yes, like, where, like, nobody else was allowed to win, and then LeBron went to the Lakers, and then, you know, you started seeing Tatum, and you started seeing Giannis, and you started seeing all these stars of the East. Like, is that how it's going to be? Like, is somebody going to step up when Drake?
Yeah, that's the thing. Drake has tried to hand the keys off like 10 different times.
I don't know. I don't think he has, though. I don't think he really has.
He's tried to give keys to Lil Baby, tried to give the keys to Jack Harlow.
Nah, bro. Because you can't give the keys and then go and drop. Like, that's like me saying, like, I want you to run the team, and then I go take 30 shots at night. Like,
I mean, Brian's still going to be Brian, but he's trying to, like, he's trying to get AD, like, his accolade.
Like, Lil Baby, you know, if Lil Baby's last album wasn't, like, a C, and Jack Harlow's album, where it was supposed to be the one, Come On, the Kids Miss You, if he didn't flop with that, I don't think Drake is dropping as much as he's dropping.
I don't think
Drake got to fulfill that $500 million deal, and I'm sure he want to cash in on another one before he call it a day.
That's what I'm saying. He's still active.
So that's why he's dropping
like,
so
you
much.
You can't be active and hand out the key. That's why I'm saying, like, I see what y'all are saying. That's why I'm saying, like, I don't think it's gonna be a true change until that nigga is, like, gone. Until people finally, like, pick their heads up like a groundhog out the ground and, like, see that the coast is clear. Like, because right now, like, bro, everybody is still, like Drake says in his songs, niggas are still worried about his release dates. Like, niggas not really trying to drop around Drake. Like, and
if you a rapper and you have, like, hold the face of the genre potential, and you scared of Drake, you're not going to be the face of the genre. Like, I'm sorry.
It's not about scared. It's not about you being scared. It's about your team and your marketing team and the label. Like, there's more people at play. Yeah. They're looking at Drake first. They're not looking at you. That's the issue.
I don't think anybody that's like, Drake had to wait part his of turn. That is going to be the face.
Because Drake had to wait his turn. That's my point. The marketing teams weren't
looking. When was Drake waiting his turn?
When it was Wayne time.
I don't know. Drake was
not hot until 2011. Like, hot.
I mean, but Wayne, that's what I'm saying, though. That's why I say I never seen it before, because these were all graceful, smooth transitions. You get what I'm saying? Like, here Drake, here Nicki, and Wayne went off and rode off to the sunset. He's still doing his thing.
That's what I'm saying. You can't compare Wayne Drake.
But it's just for shits and giggles at this point.
You can't compare the Wayne Drake to the Jack Harlow Drake. That's what I'm saying. That's not tasteful. That's not a tasteful handoff. Like,
I'm trying to think of a handoff where there was a gap.
Think about how we got from,
like, what was the last handoff where there was a gap?
Think about how we got from, like, Pot. We went from, like, Pop,
I wasn't there.
Big, then we had Jay-Z, then we had like 50 Cent, then we had like Kanye, then we had like Wayne, then Drake, then like Kendrick Cole same time, and then like it's been, and then like Future all around that same time. Then it just been just them.
We got also Travis like Scott. Like Drake also just might have ended it. Like, that also just might be the conversation too, like with streaming. Like, he might just, like, streaming might be the end, and he was the greatest streaming artist of all time, and that just might be the end, and now it subsets. Like, I think hierarchy has to exist and somebody's gonna rise to the top, but at the level, it's like the same way that, like, you know, Drake wasn't at the level that Michael Jackson ever was. I think, like, that trend is going to continue, just as, like, more people listen to shit that they like on their own and aren't guided to, like, listen to one artist, two artists.
Good point. Yeah, just more variety, like, more ways than ever to choose, discover, and I'm sure, yeah, you're right, that's only going to continue. So
I can't say if it's good or bad yet, like, and, you know, it's a little too early, but it's definitely going
to
be interesting.
To me, I just feel like, damn. But yeah, at the same time, like, is like, does I guess, do you have to ask, does hip hop have a cap? Because I feel like we don't talk about this problem in pop.
But what is a cap? And pop doesn't exist, because pop isn't a real genre. Pop is whatever's popular.
But I mean, like, yeah, you're right. Like, the most popular shit.
Pop in the 80s sounded completely different than pop today. Pop in the 90s sounded different than pop in the 2000s. Like, that's what I'm saying. Niggas be like, other genres, like, get way too much credit. It's like, bruh, we all from other places. Nigga, we created this culture, like, out of slavery. Give us some slack, nigga. Let us have some down years. Like, we created this shit out of nothing. We all spoke different languages and came together to fucking make this shit. So
But I mean, to that point though, like when I think in pop, I'm thinking like the Olivia Rodrigo's, the Ariana Grande's, the Taylor Swift's. Like, it seems to always be a bunch of them.
Like, well, that's my point, is that I think there's like rap moves fast, and like I think it's almost too pure to where like guys are like, people get pop. You can't, like in pop music, they'll hide artists and like develop them for 5 years before they like drop their first project and like go on a huge tour with a huge marketing rollout. Like, you can't do that in rap. You can't hide artists, you know? Niggas be way too lit with way too much motion, like way too early. Like, you can't hide it. And I think that's just like, I think it's a good and bad thing to where, you know, like
pop fans also are way different than,
yeah, they're willing fans to
like,
wait.
Like, I wanted to talk about this during the Ariana Grande review, but like, so I'll save it, but like pop fans are way different than rap fans. Like, how they measure music, how they critique music, how they feel about the music. Exactly. that's what I want to say for the Ariana Grande segment. So I guess we can get on her.
That's a nice way. I know what this review is. I know where this review is headed for you. Because I had the same thought. We'll get into it though. Let's drop Unheard and then let's get right into it. Anybody want to go first?
I'll start. Actually, no, you can go ahead, Tosh.
I was just going to play something off the mic.
I mean, yeah, why not? That makes sense.
Yeah, do that.
All right. Normally, I would play the Earl track because the Earl track is really hard. Fuck yeah, I'll play the Earl track. On God. But Yin Yang is also very
hard. I'm at it first. My face on the wall. We stall a nigga berserk. I know it all. They throw sticks and stones and rocks, but it never hurt me. I'm so appalled. I feel like Uzi Vert. All my friends in the dirt. Only with dog. My bro and my sister. Making it work. She know on I'm God. On Mars. You know I'm on no hydraulic. I cannot talk, just all in your pocket. I'm really right when I saw the deposit. Ain't on the top, but it's all the night. I do you wrong, my dog can vouch. I'm not alone, I'm lost without you. Trust like a cold all on that route. Bounce to what the smoke about you. I never flung, I'll be holding it down. You can be us when we cope with a rhyme. Pleasing that trauma, smoking a shot. Turn it, we slow, we focusing now. I used to front, but I know it's the sound. I'm in that club, right, blowing it down. Ain't from New York, but I'll show you the town. I got some Zyra, some joys is loud. Trust the desires, I'm pulling around. I was so hard, I'm enjoying it now. Yeah, I just don't know how to go order around. I got that product over the crown. Yeah.
I'm never, feeling have you never, good have today. You never listened to
I
plan?
Ate before noon. I think okay, that's wait. Pretty good for me. I'm going to see it's my brother.
It's an interlude, and it's a melody. You never heard Faye?
But she's just like rapping about like her day. Like,
are we just, is this the Faye review? Are we just jumping into the Faye review? Or are we going to start with Ariana? Can we start with my label?
We could talk about it since we already talking about it.
All right, let's talk about the Faye. Man, I've been gassing up Faye Webster for I don't know how long. Like, I can't remember. I think maybe the homie Q showed me Faye Webster for the first time back in 2021 around the pandemic. I can't remember who showed me Faye, but regardless, I've been waiting on this project for a while. It was one of those rollouts where she dropped like a single, Lifetime, a lot, like maybe last year, end of last year, and announced the album like 6 months out. So I've been waiting on this. What's it called? Is it called Underdressed at the Symphony?
Underdressed.
No, sorry, I didn't mean you. Yeah, Underdressed at the Symphony. 10 tracks, 37 minutes, one feature. So I'm calling this no feature. Basically, and it's great music, you know, like Faye makes, you know, she's from Atlanta. So for me, I've always thought that was kind of like that intersection was interesting because it's very like indie pop bedroom kind of folkish music. But at the same time, like it has a little bit of I don't want to say like soul. I'm not trying to like, you know, try and say that, she's like a soul artist like Tina Marie. But I'm not trying to go that far. But at the same time, like, I think there is like a little bit of like soul, like a little bit of tastefulness. Like, you can hit a two-step to some of these songs, and I don't think that's like common for artists in this lane. Just for example, like real quick, one of the songs, track 3, Wanna Quit All the Time. Stop drinking, really, for no reason other than production is a lot of guitar, bass and like bongos. Like, it almost reminded me of that Marvin Gaye song that Kendrick sampled for The Heart Part 4 or The Heart Part 5. Whichever last one he did where he was changing all the faces. Like this production is like very like, I'm not trying to say, you know, it's at the same level, but it put me like in the same space. Like I was playing FIFA too, and I'm like, this is really like calm. Like it's different though for Faye, because Faye's usually had more band type of production, which is on this album too. You know, guitars, drummer, bass player. But hearing just like some of this different production, it was nice and it was tasteful. It didn't feel like too far out of left field. So yeah, I'm interested to see how y'all feel about Faye, because I'm biased. Like she could have done anything on the tracks and I would have loved it.
Check this out, man. Listen. Listen, bro. I liked it a lot, actually.
That long response.
Wait, I was waiting for a profound review.
For real.
I think to begin, this, it felt comforting in some ways. Maybe even a little relatable. Maybe not personally, but empathetically, you know what I mean? I could resonate with some of these themes. I think, you know, if I had to describe it, I think she makes like carefree. Somebody being tired said like, yeah, like I'm not gonna actually carefree white girl music. Like I think Vance, he poked fun. He was like, you know, he wants to go to like Erewhon, like maybe look at like,
yeah, I gotta get my tote bag.
Get your tote bag going. Like this sounds like music where you said like indie pop, but like that's how I imagine it. I imagine it just like big flannel, like just spinning around in your room, like closing your eyes, like just rocking your hair back and forth.
This nigga is sick.
It's an intended,
like, bro. Like this, like I know she doesn't mean it. Like it really just does sound like she's just like waking up, like. She really has a song where she just like, it's called Feeling Good Today. She's just waking up. Like she's like, I'm brushing my teeth. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just regular shit.
I'm feeling good today. I ate before noon. I think that's pretty good for me. I'm gonna see my brother. He's got a new girl, but he's good at making time for me.
But she has this song called But Not Kiss, Bruh. And, like, it's really good, and I enjoy it. But it's, like, also funny. Vance, I know you're familiar with that one, where she's...
Where the drums come back, like, every so often. But then, like, it pauses, and then it comes back, and then it pauses. I actually don't even know what she's saying in that song.
I can't do it justice. Like, I think we would just have to insert, like, if possible... little snippets of the songs. You're going to see what I'm talking about. But the way she just like, she describes a scenario. She's like, I want to sleep in your arms, but not kiss. And then she just like rocks out for a second.
I want to sleep in your arms, but not kiss.
How'd that make you feel?
I don't know where I'm going with this review. All I would say is, like, if I had to describe it one way, like, yes, bro, it is a little soulful. Sound like she's just rocking out, man. She's not taking herself too seriously. I enjoyed it.
I put just this one on ice. I put it on ice. I'm saving it for. It's right. It's like been rainy and cold and windy. I'm like, nah, I can't listen.
Not in LA, this baby. It's perfect timing. It's perfect timing out here, man.
I listen once. It's like a Silver Spring Sunday, like a Sunday in Silver Springs. Like Chance alluded to what I was going to say.
Silver Spring.
So, and it's in LA. It's like, fuck. You mean, it's like, oh,
you mean
Yeah, what's the city I'm talking about?
Oh, Silver Lake. Silver
you know what I'm talking
Silver
about.
Lake.
Silver Spring. Silver Lake, yeah. It's like a Sunday.
Silver Spring
Silver
is in Maryland. I'm like,
yeah, Silver Spring is around my...
Oh, my bad. It's like a Sunday at Silver Lake. It's just like, damn, this is a perfect place. Like, this is just perfect.
Go get some ice cream. Go get, like, a matcha.
You just doing like, shit that, like, you've never done before.
Like, just like a bunch of random stores next to each other. You got my analogy, though, when I was talking about how, like, it just feels like.
He said something. You like
she just letting her body, like, move, like, just rock out. Like,
it's art student music.
Yeah.
Definitely art student music.
It's like, yeah, it's the barefoot white girl. It's like, she doesn't, like, overstep the boundaries. Like, y'all mentioned soulful. But it's not like she's overstepping. Like you're not afraid she's gonna like have locks or anything. But she's just like, she's very much comfortable in her space. Right, and it's like, right. Damn, that's why it's relatable. I got what Chance said with relatable. It's like, yeah, it's a relatable soul feeling. Of like, damn, you're like really free. Like I can feel how free you are. And it's like you just want to listen to that in like a sunny atmosphere on like a sun-kissed day. It's just great. It's like that's why I'm saving it.
It's almost therapeutic, bro. Like in a lot of ways, it's just like it sounds like. Like you just like are encouraging her. You're just like, you know what? I'm proud of you. Like she's just telling you about her life. She's like, it's like it feels like she just called you on the phone and she's just like telling you like about what happened today or like how she's feeling. And you're just like, you know what?
One of the songs she's talking about, like if you look at my eBay search history, you can learn a lot about me. And it's just like, who else is writing shit like that right now? On that, but like with masterful production behind it, you know, like that's what I appreciate about it. It's like the perfect balance between we get that you're a serious musician, but at the same time, like it's like they say, you know, like the perfect artist learns the rules and then breaks them and bends them a little bit. You know, the perfect artist doesn't follow all the rules of their art style. You know, they learn it and then they figure out a way to kind of draw back and go against them a little. I feel like that's where Faye is at this stage. It's like, she's already peaked that regular, just she can write like a perfect song if she really needs to. But I think the fact that she's throwing in these kind of witty lines is just, it's kind of like, it's just like Chance said, it's kind of, it's almost funny in a way.
You know, maybe you should have drafted her, Vance, because we're going to move into our next girl who's in an adjacent category, Ariana Grande, much bigger, obviously.
Go to hell.
She released Eternal Sunshine, projected to debut number one. Selling somewhere between 160 and 185,000 units.
We're not even worried about the number, but we'll take number one. We're not worried about that, though. How'd you feel about the album? Even though I feel
like
you
have some music, though, man.
I feel like you have some hate brewing.
No hate. I mean, I'm hating only a little bit because it's on your label, and I just have to, like, I want to break it down and just make sure, like, we just not, like, passing this off.
I can respect it.
But I have to be honest, man, like... You know, maybe this music is not so much for me. Like, I'm not a, you know, this is typically not the type of music I would gear myself towards. I like Ariana Grande, though. I think she's very talented, good songwriter, can sing. But, I don't know. I don't know, bro. It was too vanilla. If I could describe it.
For Ariana Grande? Way possible. What's a raunchy Ariana Grande song? Come on.
I'm not saying raunchy, but it was just vanilla, bro. It was just like, I don't know. I don't know. There's nothing to get excited about here. Few moments
relative
here and there.
Relative to the last
but,
album, I guess I can get the vanilla part relative to the last
yes,
album.
Yes, it wasn't
but, yeah, especially relative to the last album.
It wasn't as like, I'm not going to say like hip-hop-y, but yeah, it wasn't as much upbeat. Rap/R&B type stuff. It was more dancey, a little bit more singer songwriter. Because you know we talked a little bit in pre-prod. Taj and I just like a lot of the themes on the album were different too. You remember it's been like 5 years, so a lot of the theme or maybe either 5 years or 3 years. I don't know if that last project dropped.
3 years.
Okay, that dropped in 2021. So yeah. You know the themes are different as well. She's talking about different stuff in terms of like relationship things. And it's always, I'm not going to say that she hasn't addressed the relationship stuff before, but you know, in the past, it almost felt like, y'all remember, it was almost like it had to be like a momentous thing. Every time she talked about like her relationship, it was always, almost had to be like a highlight or some crazy, just like spectacle. And it feels like on the project now, it feels like she's just a little bit more comfortable in that space. But for me with Ariana, like, I get the Vanilla claims. I guess I'm a little more biased just like, because I really respect her artistry and like her work just like as a musician and as a pop star. And I think for somebody with her voice, when she drops projects, I kind of just want to hear like, how are you going to use like, it's almost like a playbook. Like, I want to see you open up like the whole playbook and like, I want to see everything. Like, I want to see every play call. I don't want to see you just, you know, stay in one formation the whole game. I want to see different ways that like your voice can really be utilized, because not too many people have that voice. And I think this album, like you said, there were some like, in terms of Vanilla for me, I think there are songs on here that like we've heard that Ariana Grande song before, but I do think that there were also like leaps that like we haven't heard from Ariana Grande before. The Boy Is Mine flip, that's probably one of my favorite songs on the track, because that was like a, I saw a lot of people online were giving her a little bit of flack. You know, they've been accusing her of doing her blackfishing, saying that she wants to be black. But I also don't know if these are like rival stans, or I don't know if these are like people that are just coming from like a regular level-headed place. But people were, there was a lot of anticipation on whether that would quote unquote flop or not. Like the Boy Is Mine track. I really like I Wish I Hated You. Bye was cool. Like, I think it's just solid pop music. I think it was a little, I think it could have been a little longer, to be honest. But, like, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it.
Didn't move me. It didn't move you.
I mean, it was a good album.
That's what it sounds like.
It's been 3 days, and it was a good album to me. Like, I'm going to keep listening to it. What did you want me to call it, a classic?
I think he just pulled off the press. He was pressing and he just pulled back. Got in 2-3 zone.
Okay.
Hey, I mean, I think
it's a solid album.
I think that review speaks for itself, man. I don't know.
Like, it's like, how do you feel, first, how do you feel about off it, Taj? First listen, it's not as good as the last one, but like the last one is probably my favorite Ariana project ever. So I don't know what you want me to say. It wasn't the Mona Lisa, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's good. I would classify it as good. It's a good album. It's definitely not her last one. Ariana Grande, she's like, it's a very short tier of pop stars I'm actually checking for. It's Ariana Grande and Doja Cat. That's the list. But like pop stars I'm actually like, I would listen to a full project from. And I just, it's because I think they like both take risk and they both kind of are cool in their own way. And the way it start, when this project started, like the first 5 tracks or so, I was like, oh shit, fuck. Like, I was pissed. Just throwing shit around the office. I was like, fuck, Vance got one. But then it cooled off, and I was like, all right, cool. Like, this is a good project. Yeah, it's just a good project. It's like, she has a story to tell, so she's not, like, doing as much, like, experimentative, like Vance said, like, whatever. She's not doing, throwing herself in all these different lanes. It's more so, this one seems, like, focused on the storytelling and, like, dealing with breakup and like talking about how she got cheated on and like post breakups vibes. So it's like not the same energy as like a Positions where she's like being the fun girl who's like out and about and doing like all this sexual energy and like all of that. Instead it's like kind of sad girl vibes, and she's been like, everybody's been calling her a home wrecker for like 6 months. So she's dealing with that. So she's like, it's just more writer bag. So it's good.
But who, it's like, whose home does she write?
Like, some, this is white Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know, it was white Twitter.
The size of white Twitter stuff. But yeah.
Was it like another celebrity or something? Like, was it?
It's like a musical guy from SpongeBob. He was like a SpongeBob musical guy.
And he had a wife and she was sleeping with him?
He had a wife and just had a kid, and Ariana Grande and him are doing like Wicked or some shit. And then they started dating. And everybody called her homewrecker. They got divorced, blah, blah, blah. That's why a lot of the stands, which I wanted to talk about, a lot of the stands are against her because of these homewrecking allegations.
Ah, that's why. Okay. I didn't know why.
Which is why.
Like,
this is why. It's not the blackfishing. They don't care about black people this much. it was the homewrecking. And the fact that her first single was Yes And, like, they thought that was a shot at the wife of, like, yes, I took your man, and and that's why they were, like, so pissed about it. That's why, like, stan culture is so interesting to me. It's just like, they don't, I alluded to this in the first part, they don't give a fuck about the actual music.
It's like, not about the music.
The music does not move them. It's about literally
that's all I was saying with the music, bro. And I'm just like, listen, I'm like, I respect Ariana Grande. Like, in some ways, I get it why she's a massive artist. She's very talented, but it's just like, is this moving people?
Oh, wait, no.
That's all I was asking.
You're about to, you're saying, you're going into overhype conversation.
Yeah, you're talking about something. I'm talking about, like, the people who, like, make up the 185K sales, those people, like, they didn't care about the music at all. They cared about,
love it or hate it.
The story, how, like, messy things were going to get, then how many... If Ariana didn't, like, I saw people saying, like, she flopped. Like, she's about to sell nearly 200K and, like, flop. Taylor Swift would never. I'm like, of course not. Of course Taylor Swift would never sell 200K.
It's like Jordan LeBron debates on there. I'm like, ugh. I just never.
And then I got to thinking of just, like, these, like, fans are, these, no, they're not fans. They're these stands are crazy, but they also have an impact on the music. And that's when I was like, damn, that kind of sucks. Like, I mentioned how I link Ariana and Doja Cat together. And you think about Doja Cat's last album, her whole last album was basically like, fuck the stans. Like, fuck stans. I'm not making pop music anymore. Fuck y'all. I'm going to give y'all a dusty rap album. Maybe throw in a Gore Hills here in every now and then. But just like, fuck y'all. Like, it was just a middle finger album to that whole culture. Which, again, another reason why I fuck with Doja Cat. But just like, these stans are really impacting the music in a way. And I think that's what's, like, interesting. Like, the whole Meg and Nicki Minaj beef where Hiss became number one song in the world. And now that's just, like, about to fall off the charts, like, 3 weeks later. Just because stans were, like, took it amongst themselves to make it a war. Like, it's just so interesting to me, like, this whole culture and the fact that it's actually impacting the music.
They really have, they really have, like, the Bieber got caught a couple years ago telling, got the screenshot, like, download,
go to sleep, listen to
download a VPN, like, turn your location to Japan and, like, go to sleep and turn your music very low but not muted, like, or else it won't count for a stream, and, like, play it all night. And then he had to delete it because it was, like, illegal streaming methods. But, you know, the stan
still lost to the box.
The stan, that was who he was going against. It's hilarious.
Yeah, he was doing all that for Yummy versus the box.
Yummy.
Well, yeah, I remember. Oh, that was like the orange cover album.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Wait, what was his controversy? What he was doing around then again?
He just said it. Oh, he was. I don't think this was when he was doing the whole Martin Luther King Black thing. That was a different album.
This
he's thinking of.
Talking about this was. He put up an illegal, like, I don't know, like a fake streaming method, basically just how to, like, basically bot streams and just tell all his fans to just play his shit overnight and while switching their location to Thailand, so it looks like he's streaming, like, over there or some shit.
Oh, I thought he was cheating or something.
I mean, kind, like encouraging the cheating, essentially. Like, you know.
I thought people wasn't tuning into his album. You saying he was trying to do that because people weren't tuning into his album because of controversy.
No, he was just trying to go number one over Roddy Ricch at the time.
But he was using, like, a stan method. Like, that's what the stans do. Like, they'll tell the other stans, like, everybody turn your phones on. Like, at the same time, we're all going to press play. Yeah, we're gonna get number
got
one.
Got it. Okay, bet.
Yeah.
So
I think that's the perfect segue into one of our last reviews, Schoolboy Q, Blue Lips, of just like how fans impact the art. Because Schoolboy Q, I don't know if you guys follow him on Twitter. I don't follow him on Twitter, but somebody just kept. I don't know. Elon Musk's algorithm is so weird. I was just getting spammed with Schoolboy Q posts like all of last week, but he was doing like a thread of his favorite albums, and he ranked this one, the new one, Blue Lips, number one. And he said, it's early, but it's how I feel today. Could change. I mean, bro, y'all never heard me rap like this. Album been done for years, to be real. I just didn't know where I would fit in this circus or just bullshitting algorithm, so I'm in my bed and chose art. I'm too good to let my talent go to waste over a viral moment. I'm 37 and still hungry. That was the part that was, like, interesting to me, of just, like, damn. Basically he had this great album, and he just kind of let it sit because he just... didn't he was like scared of like this whole sales shit, how do I make it go viral, how do I catch a moment? Then after a while he just kind of said fuck it, like, let the art be the art.
Yeah, I respect Schoolboy Q. I haven't even listened to the project yet, to be real. But I've seen a lot of good reviews about it. I've seen a lot of people that I respect that talk about music give it high reviews. So kind of in the same way that you've been saving the Faye, I've kind of been saving the Schoolboy Q. I want to make sure like I can really give it a proper run through. But how'd you feel about it? I mean, how does it compare like to his past stuff? Is it like Black Hippie stuff? Is he on like newer beats? Like
this is a different Q. This is like
You're talking about Q, like
the Schoolboy Q. Schoolboy Q.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm saying like this is a different. I was just calling him Q. This is a different Schoolboy Q sound.
Oh, I thought you were like talking about the other artist named Q. I'm sorry, I got confused.
Nah. Like I would agree with him and be like, this is his best, but like this is the one that you can like point to. Like I think Oxymoron's a classic, but I think if like 30 years from now, like my kids are like, I don't know why they would be asking about Schoolboy Q. That's about Schoolboy Q. And I'm like, I would play them like this, like Blue Lips. Like he was this nigga from LA who was like really talented, but he could also like make dancey shit. He can be do like some deep introspective shit. He can do like some type of like headbanger shit. Like he had the song with Rico Nasty, the second track, Pop. Pop, 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 nigga 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 pop. I ain't popping my shit, I keep a spear, I'm fresh as a mint, I'm hard as cement. You can't leave a dent, demolish, you finish him. We gon' belittle him, don't fuck with little men. I'm not the middleman, bitches won't squash it. You gotta be kidding me, riddle me this. How many times I gotta tell y'all motherfuckers, stop stealing this shit. High energy, like, oh shit, this can go up at a festival. Like, this is like kids can, people can mosh to. Then he had the track Movie with like this crazy feature from this nigga AZ Chike. I don't know how you pronounce his name, but it's just like it had the LA bounce to it, but it wasn't like corny.
Look, bitch, put me in a film. You know, these niggas all cap like brims. All this water, I can show you how to swim. Let this bitch touch on my third limb. Yeah, nah, fam, you ain't fuck, you ain't kin. You ain't the nigga I'ma look to the wind. Bitch, I was broke and I was down getting it in. But now I'm up and out of town on your fringe.
This album as a whole is like the cousin to that Vince Staples album I really like from like 2 years ago. It feels like the cousin. Like with the Vince Staples project, what was it called? Ramona Park Broke My Heart was kind of like representing what Long Beach and like a certain subset of LA was like. This feels like Schoolboy Q really representing what his area of LA is like. It's like cool, but there's also like deep tragic shit going on. And there's also like this classic Crip shit going on.
So like, it's like a classic,
he touches on
like
everything.
A classic album, just like fully representative yeah. of like life and sounds that the artist is working on.
Very much right? So.
Yeah, I'm excited to tap in. Good description.
Yeah, I'm not there yet, man. Ty gave a great review. I'm not there yet as far as my listening journey, like as far as having been able to sit with this album long enough. So I haven't given it a thorough spin. I've spent it like once or twice, but yeah, I'm not gonna give y'all a BS review on this one. So
all right, last review before we get on her. I don't even know if this is a review. I might just clap into the
mic. Best for the world, baby.
Best for the world dropped Mundo. Is that how you pronounce it? Mundo. He finally dropped this. I've been waiting for a new Bash project. I feel like it's been like 3 years.
Since the pandemic.
This was supposed to drop like Cinco de Mayo last year. So this was supposed to drop 2023. I don't know what ended up happening for a whole year, but I'm not mad at it. Like, if this is what you're going to drop, I'll wait every time. This is just, it was like 6 new tracks, 5 old tracks, but like remastered. And it just hit. It was potent through and through. I tweeted, like, it's restoring a feeling. It was just that feeling of like, damn, like, this is why like I love like rap. Like,
real shit, bro. I felt like a kid listening great. To this shit, bro.
Exactly. This it was like that same feeling like when I first was like falling in love with rap of like, damn, like, yeah. This is it.
Bruh, it's solid. Like you said, people haven't had a ton of Bash music. He had the project before, Darkest Before Dawn, or I don't know if that was the name of it or that was a song on there. But
Me, Myself, and I,
right? Yeah. But regardless, there wasn't a ton of Bash out there. So like Taj said, a lot of people have been waiting for this project. And he kind of moves like low-key. You know, he's not one of the super public-facing artists that's doing a bunch of social media stuff and a bunch of snippets. He did drop singles, like Taj said, five of them were already on the project, but now hearing them kind of fully in the album form, it just sounds so much better. You know, he's just, it's like prime hustler music. Like, you want to go get to a bag, but at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, you just, it's like the, it's just ultimate, like, it's just, like Taj said, it's great rap music. It's like the same feeling you get when you first started hearing rap music. Like, almost like the same feeling you would get from listening to Lil Wayne. Like, it's just like, okay, like,
yeah, that's
like, I just want to go and do, like, I want to go and do some shit. Like, I just want to get to it. Like, whether you playing, like, a game of 2K or you hooping in real life or, like, anything. Like, it's highlight music. Like, it's everything. Like, it's just get to it. Get to it music. And
facts. This is the music. This is the music you do the dash. You do the dash with. Like, this should just make you want to just, this should just be making you, like, just dance in the car. Like, you just feeling good. Like, I love that y'all say that, man. That's exactly the feeling I get with this. It's just like that three, the way he began with them first three songs, King of the Hill, Crib in the Sky, Face
Crazy,
Card.
Crazy.
That is insane, man. I'm like, King of the Hill, wow. It's like, y'all know the meme. Who's that wrestler that be in a chair? And like, it's like when shit getting better, show him like four different memes. And it's just like, each time he getting like, y'all know the meme I'm talking
I
about.
I don't know. A wrestler in a chair. I'm trying so hard.
Niggas describe this meme terribly, whatever it is.
Bro, who? Damn.
What wrestler would be in a chair? Why would there be a chair in the ring?
Vince.
Oh.
Mamaka.
Vince McMahon?
McMahon?
What about Vince McMahon?
I'm sorry, yeah. Clearly,
he's like crying. Where he's like, where he's he was like, special. Where
he's like, no, it's just like he's looking at something, and he's like, he's kind of intrigued, or like, and then like he look, and then like they mention something else about it, and he's like, oh wow, and then like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I felt with these songs.
I don't know if you lost me again.
Oh my god, bro! I'm gonna have to.
I know
see
that he was special, Vince McMahon.
Look up Vince McMahon reaction meme.
Nah, I'm too weak.
Look that up so y'all could
bro,
just
only,
so we could get
I'm
on
only
the same
familiar
page,
with the, it was special.
Oh, that one could apply too, but y'all gonna see the one I'm talking
oh,
about.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It's the one where like Vince McMahon like slowly like leans back into the chair and he's like, oh, this old ass eye funny meme.
That's hilarious.
Fucking 10-minute rant trying to find a meme. Anyway, bro. No, I got on Bash a little later. Like, you guys put me on Bash, and, you know, I loved this earlier shit. But like y'all said, there wasn't a whole lot to go to. The shit there was to go to, like, again, it gave you that same feeling. Just like, it just make, get to a bag is a good way to describe it. It just make you want to go. Like, man, let's get it. Like, that's how you describe this music. Let's get it music.
I'd rather stop myself from making just like stupid purchases like four times while listening to the Bash. I almost went and got a new tattoo. I was about to go buy a bracelet. Nigga said, say you getting money, hold your wrist up. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, like, I don't have a bracelet. Like, I need, yeah.
Nah, he said, I got the crib up in the sky treated like the trap spot. The crib in the sky, just like, that bitch in the sky. Yeah,
man, it's great.
And nigga said, 50 bad bitches and 20,000 at booby trap. Then he said, some, the rest of y'all know what to do with that. I was like, fuck. Like, I want to feel this feeling. Like, this is an amazing
like
feeling.
Telling the homies, y'all know what to do. Whatever you describe. Like, all the business exactly. Is handled. Like, I want to be a leader. Like, he's a leader. You know, he's displaying leadership.
Go yeah. Enjoy yourselves.
And last point, Vance, you said something about kind of like this West Coast feel. Like, it did give me that feel a little bit. I had to look up where bro was from because
Dallas.
I was like, this do sound, I know, yeah. I was like, oh, this nigga from Texas. Like, it don't sound like no Texas shit. Like, it sound like he is like one of these like West Coast ass niggas. Little bit, but no, man. This is how you do it. Great stuff.
Yeah, it's been a heavy rotation of all the albums we just discussed, obviously outside of the Schoolboy Q. All those other albums, it's been a rotation. Like, I mean, I just haven't listened yet. It's nothing against them, but
we're talking about so much. Let's just play something from the Bash, man.
We gotta play Face Card.
That's what I'm saying. Face card. Let's play Face Card.
50 bad bitches and 20,000 at booba trap. The hoes surround my sex and I'm throwing money. They asking who is that? Me go those my bitches and the rest y'all know what to do with that.
was a joke. Back then you hit the store and spent the whole day at Ross. When I first started getting some money, I went from Polo to Lacoste. My whole life, all I ever wanted was to be a hustler like my pops. Nigga had to run to the store before I could ever become a boss. Hey, back then we play Lil Wayne, DJ Screw, and Young Nation. Nigga, I been putting work, I ain't never needed no validation. Say you talking about some money that we can have a conversation. Say you talking about some money, then pull a 100 out the vacant. Say when this shit go down to me, go, who gon' take the blame? They say they'll change your life, but who the one got more to gain? I'm walking out G-Fazos, black tee, my wrist plain. Nigga, spend your whole salary just to up my wrist.
Let's get into the four bats, you know? It's been a good week for the dude. We, you know, he had the Drake feature come out. I mean, was that just this past Friday?
Yeah, the first he got the cover of Unheard, so that was when this luck really turned around. Things just immediately went in high gear.
Or like the Madden curse, but like in reverse. Like, you get a cover of Unheard, like good things will happen in your career. So yeah, we gave four bats the cover. You know, social media followed the whole week after. It's like everybody listened to Unheard. I was like, damn, I didn't know we were that popular. You know, I really didn't. And all of Twitter was talking about Industry Plant this, Industry Plant that. And there were talks before, as I alluded to on the podcast, even though Chance tried saying I was a hater, you know, I was just trying to see what people were saying. And it seemed like the Industry Plant talk picked up heavy once the Drake feature was kind of announced and the song dropped. And then, you know, subsequently we got the announcement that he signed an EP deal, licensing deal with Drake. And there were...
The two were not correlated, according to people, prominent people according on Twitter. Just so happened.
According to people on Twitter, they said Drake. Chance, do you believe they said Drake just gave four bats? He wanted to do the feature before he even met him, just off the strength. Like, he really wanted to.
I'll say this, man.
How much do you believe think it's, that?
If y'all want to call him an industry plant, it has to be for other reasons, bro. It can't
just
be because
the question.
I'm not saying if y'all call him that, but if people want to have the industry plant talks, it can't be because of Drake. Because Drake, like, we're familiar with his game. Feel me? Like, we know, you know, how he stays on top, how he stays, you know, ahead of the curve, on the cutting edge. Like, you know, he finds these guys that's
so
on the
cusp.
So
you do believe that he just did it off to strength, or do you think that he did the feature because he knew he was going to sign him? Because the paperwork was done. I feel like the paperwork was already done.
I'm sure it happened simultaneously.
All right.
If I have to, like, it's like,
I also feel like that remix was low-key a dud. Like, I haven't heard it talked about as much as, like, I thought it would be talked about.
It's like a whole different song.
I guess because Drake is kind of, like, in hot water at this. Yeah, it's like a whole different song, and Drake is in hot water, too, at the same time.
Why is he in hot water?
What's Drake in hot water about?
He tweeted the whole, he posted the whole, like, free Tory Lanez shit. And then, like, all women, just everybody just kind of went at him. So it wasn't the best time for Drake.
He definitely did tweet that mad ass shit. That was crazy. But, yeah, I mean, Drake just made it a whole different song from what I heard. I only listened to it once, but it sounded like, you know, some classic Drake. Like, sounded like a leak. Like a Drake leak that, like, got released.
That's what I'm saying. Sounds like some shit you would have only heard on SoundCloud, like, back in the day. Like, not a Apple Music.
Not Apple Music.
Tease this and everything.
Yeah, it wasn't a needle mover. That's what I'm saying.
Let me apply that pressure right back. How do you?
The single, but like, they just remixed the song he already did. Like, we'll see what happens with this tape, man. Apparently, part of the deal is he gonna do an EP for Drake, man. One and done. Am I correct?
Yes. It's a
Drake gonna get. He gonna get some profit sharing, but I don't think he gonna own it, right?
He'll own some of it, I'm sure, for a duration of time. But I'm sure those rights will go back to four bats eventually. But Drake, you know, he's gonna give his resources. He's gonna get him in studios, get him in sessions, get him with producers, get him with writers. You know, it's gonna be a whole operation. So I have a little bit of hope that, you know, I mean, not a little bit of hope. I have a lot of hope that the four bats project will be good. You know, if Drake is overseeing it. My only fear would be that, you know, it's like a 6-song project and 3 of the songs are the songs that we've already heard come out. I would want a little bit more than that, but it's definitely going to be solid.
How do you guys feel about the deal as a whole on four bass's trajectory career? Cause that's how we ended the segment on the four bass episode. We were like, who he signs with will kind of tell you what's going to happen. And I guess he didn't really sign. This is kind of like a teasing sign, like just kind of putting his foot in the water. But how do you guys feel about the move? good move, bad move.
I think it's great.
And
I feel like it's good for, I feel like Drake is trying to sort of revive this OVO thing. I think it felt like, you know, it kind of just dissipated for a second. They haven't been nearly as active as like TDEs or the Dreamvilles.
What does that mean? They have been active. They just haven't.
No. Listen, they haven't been as active though. I feel like he hasn't really brought on new artists. He just brought on Naomi Sharon.
New artists. I was about to say there was three albums last year OVO dropped.
But PND ain't dropped in a minute. My G Jordan, they hadn't dropped last minute.
Sharon, OVO?
Naomi Sharon signed. She dropped last year.
She's like a new signing.
Not even Forbes.
So she's new and Forbes is new. So I agree. They're going in a new direction.
That's what I'm saying. So it seems like he's trying to pivot, going a new direction. So for Drake, this is a smart move because you kind of like, you know, just like
not
the franchise.
For Drake. Not for Drake. I'm asking for Forbes.
Just like the franchise tag. And then for Forbes, I think, you know, like you really betting on, it feel like you betting on yourself, but you got great backing. I feel like you got the best of both worlds, right? Because it's just like, if we blow this shit up and blow this shit out the water, the numbers are great, whatever. Like, nigga, see, we for real. Then, like, we going to get the bag.
Yeah, regardless.
On the flip side, if this shit a dud, I don't know. I feel like you ain't protect yourself there. Like,
I mean, I think
but
he
you
knows,
got Drake on your side
just
again, like,
no
to mitigate
like,
that
there's
risk.
There's no rushing it. Like, there's no rush. Like, you can drop your EP and take as much time as you really need. I think like the main focus, like Chance said, you just can't drop a dud. So I think going with Drake is damn near some of the best confirmation that like some of the best safety, like kind of safety net, the best safety net that you can have to make sure that you don't drop, you know, a complete dud if you know you're gonna have those resources. Because it's not just, it's like OVO, but you know, OVO is signed to a label group called Santa Ana, which is tied to Sony. So like, there's going to be a lot of teams working on this, so it won't be, like, any small thing. I think it's great business all around, honestly. I will be interested to see who he goes with long-term, though, or if he just keeps doing these one-and-dones like LeBron.
I think the deal is way better for OVO than it is for Forbes. If I'm Forbes, I wanted to lock something up. I guess it makes sense in the sense of like you want to lock into this multi-million like crazy advances, and then maybe your shit doesn't sell like that, and now you're like dead. So I guess it makes sense in that aspect, but just in the sense of like his sound, and then he drops this EP and it's like with OVO, and let's just say it like best case scenario, the EP does great, and it's like all everybody's playing. But, like, his sound, that's, like, a sound I can see people kind of, like, getting tired of quick. And now you don't have, like, a long-term deal in place or some shit. So it's kind of, like, now you have to reinvent yourself on this new deal. It's like, I don't know.
That's my thing, though. Is this, and that's the jury's still out on that, and that's what we're going to see. It's just, like, can he do something else? Like, or will he be able to, like, you know, really... I thought we got an inkling of that on the last single, but again, just a single, and it wasn't that far off. So I think, can he take, I would like to see another step on his EP. Show us that you could do something else. Give us like a taste of maybe shit you working on, some different shit you could do. And then he could worry about that later. But yeah, we can't get an act. I don't want to see an act 4, 5, 6, 7. Like, we met up and I was just like, I don't even want to see the first three on there. I just want to go from scratch. But listen.
Yeah, I think that since we've kind of, I said like before, who he signs to would be the major telling thing. Next major telling thing is like whatever the EP sounds like. If it sounds like Act 1, 2, and 3, and he's kind of like milking that sound and just kind of goes crazy, it's going to go crazy. If that's what he does, then I'm kind of like selling. I'm not buying any stock. But yeah, if he does like what Chance says and he's like trying different shit, he's throwing like seeing what can stick, trying different things, then I'm like, all right, I'll buy stock. Like, you're serious. All right, that's it. Last words. Then we're out.
Thank y'all for tuning in, man. Reminder, man, go check us out on all the socials, bro. New episode next week, man, of course. Download Cosign too, Taj Music Discovery app. Yeah, just Cosign. Cosign Music Discovery in the App Store. Black background, silver disc logo.
Can't miss it.
Called it out like a car, like some, like an Amber Alert. Like on the car, red Honda, silver.
Hey, man, I'm practicing for when we start doing our ad placements, man. How was that? Pretty good?
Room for improvement.
Room for improvement. Okay, well, listen, that was off the cuff. No script.
If you listen this far, stop what you're doing. Go into your podcast listening service. Tap the little share icon. Send it to a friend. Don't even send it to a friend. Send it to a group chat. Like, I think you really like this podcast. Yeah,
some clout. Somebody's going to like it.
Somebody's going to find a song they haven't heard before, an artist they haven't heard before, an album they haven't heard before. And you can be that. You can be the referral friend.
We won't claim any dibs on you. Can be the, you got it.
Come on, man. Exactly. While you tapping in at work, wherever you work at, man, I be tapping in at work, man. Plugging them AirPods, man. The wired up headphones, whatever you got. Tune in,
play
man.
Play it on the speaker. Then have the people ask. Play it on the speaker. Bash.
I mean,
who is Bash? What are they talking about? You'd be like, oh, Bash. Like, I put them on the Bash.
Depending on where you work, everybody don't work in the same environment. However, you can listen, though. Just get it in, man.
All right, bro.
Do the Justin Bieber. Play the pod. 25% volume.
How to do the method for like nasty streaming. We don't need the nasty streaming. Stream our podcast organically.
All right, Unheard on, I guess, Chance. Well, y'all both kind of simultaneously play Advance, so y'all can
play Bash. I'm claiming that one.
All right, Unheard on Advance, and we're out.
Come on, Vance.
Yeah, I'm gonna play Wanna Quit All the Time by Faye.
I stopped drinking, really, for no reason other than seeing you drunk outside. I used to be so.
Podcast over, dog.